God promised that through many trials, we'd have to endure suffering and tribulation in this life to enter the kingdom of God. Life is full of suffering. And what makes it bearable is our Creator and the one whom we hope, the one who gives us responsibility and duty to do what is right, the one who gives us good works and strengthens us in faith. Life is full of suffering. What I want to look at tonight is from Acts chapter 14. You have your Bible. Let's turn over there. Turn with me in your Bible to Acts 14. We're looking at verses 19 through 23. Verses 19 through 23. One of the reasons I picked this passage was because I don't think I've ever preached from this passage. So it stood out to me as a challenge to draw from it. Because there's something within the passage that really stood out to me in regards to what I just mentioned. So we're going to read it, make some observations from it, draw from it, learn from it. All right, Acts chapter 14, verses 19 through 23. This is what we read here. So just give a little bit of context. Paul and Barnabas have gone throughout Galatia. The Jews are pursuing them from Iconium, and here they are, they're pursuing them, and they finally catch up with Paul. This is what we see in verse 19. But the Jews came from Antioch and Iconium, and having persuaded the crowds, they stoned Paul and dragged him out of the city, supposing that he was dead. So they thought he was dead. Now, what state Paul would have been in, think about that, as he is stoned here, and then they drug him out of the city. Look at verse 20. But when the disciples gathered about him, now you can picture that. Here's Paul, either unconscious or possibly dead. He's been stoned. He's outside of the city where he's been drugged, and the disciples gather around him. The church does. Christians do. And we keep reading here, and it says, and he rose up. And the reason why I said it could be inferred here that he was dead and rose up, because that word there is often used for resurrection. He rose up and entered the city. And on the next day, he went on with Barnabas to Derbe. So that's very interesting. You think that Paul might go on vacation after this, take a few days off, maybe rest a little bit. He rises up from being stoned, knocked unconscious, however you want to put it. He's healed. It's the work of God here. He gets up, and with Barnabas, he begins again in the ministry and in the work. What would be your response to being stoned? But again, if you got up by the will of God, you'd be encouraged by it. I'm going to keep doing what I've been doing. I'm going to stay in the work and in the ministry. No matter who hits me, whoever strikes against me, I'm going to continue on. Look at verse 21. When they had preached the gospel to that city. Now in Greek here, it says they preached the gospel. It's the Greek word euangelizo. And it's translated preach the gospel. What it means is they proclaim the message. They evangelize is the Greek word there. They evangelize. So this is what Paul does. Oh, you stoned me. And he rises up again and he keeps going. And they proclaim the gospel to that city and made many disciples. You can't escape that. This making disciples is imitating and based on the words of Christ that we see in Matthew 28 in the Great Commission, where we're given the instruction to make disciples. So Paul gets up, he preaches, he evangelizes, makes many disciples. Then they return to Lystra and to Iconium and Antioch, and strengthening the souls of the disciples. So that would strengthen you, wouldn't it? Now here's Paul, who's been persecuted, who's been stoned, rises up, continues in the ministry of evangelizing, of preaching, of teaching the truth, of making disciples. And then he's going about strengthening the lives, the souls of the disciples. And then he goes on further, encouraging them to continue in the faith. That would encourage me. Encouraging them to continue in the faith, saying that through many tribulations we must enter the kingdom of God. And that's what I want to emphasize tonight. Through many tribulations we must enter. Now, does Paul know about that? Yes, he has a whole list of it when you go to 2 Corinthians of all these tribulations and a lot of these things that he has endured. And he was just stoned. And he says, through many tribulations we must enter the kingdom of God. through many trials. Literally with the Greek word there, trials, tribulations, hardships. You're going to go through them to enter. And when he's talking about the kingdom of God here, he's talking about that eternal kingdom that God has blessed and has promised to us. And so for that promise and for what Christ has done, he endures for that. And Paul continues in the work. Yes, it's encouraging and it's strengthening to those disciples. Look at verse 23. And when they had appointed elders for them, so he didn't stop at just preaching the gospel, he makes sure that these churches have elders, appointed elders for them in every church. There's the strengthening. There's the encouragement. And they do it how? With prayer and fasting, or prayer with fasting, literally. And they committed them to the Lord. So they're appointed. These elders are appointed. It's done with prayer and fasting. They're committed to the Lord in whom they have believed. So these men are men who trust in the Lord, and they are committed to God. And another thing that's interesting here is the word appointed here. The word appointed is made up of a Greek word that means to stretch out one's hand, to designate, or to touch. And so you have that idea here that we see throughout the scriptures of that we see with Timothy and others, where even Paul warns Timothy, don't be too hasty in laying your hands on someone and in approving of them. You need to know who they are and their character. So we got a picture here and a great message here of what the ministry looked like. And we see Paul being encouraged. I want you to think about the hard things and difficulties that you've been through. People know about the things that you go through, but you endure them and you continue in the ministry of Christ. You do it on a focus toward God. And that makes a huge difference. That's a massive influence. That strengthens us. That should encourage us. And as Christians, we see this. And I'm going to suffer in life. I'm going to have hardships. I'm going to be persecuted. But that's not going to keep me from doing God's will. Some other things that I see here as I'm reading over the text, I see that worldly people are going to react with hatred when you go about teaching something that leads other people, leads people that their friends and family away from their family tradition and the way that they are used to living toward a different way of living, and that's in following Christ. I also see here that God's servants can endure great suffering and even apparent death to convert others to the faith, and that those trials that we go through help others. When they see that what we endure, when we're able to share that with others, what we've been through. And I know a lot of us in here have been through very tough things in life. With loved ones and hardships, we've seen those who are our loved ones pass away. We've seen loved ones who have left Christ, who've been addicted, who've been enslaved to sin. We see those things. We might have even experienced it with ourselves. We go through those things. We've endured hardships, might have lost occupation, might have been slandered for our faith, but we continue on. Another thing that stands out to me here is that God's preachers proclaim the gospel to make disciples, and that's what it does. That's what teaching and sharing the gospel does. It makes disciples. Other things that definitely stand out here that give us the full picture is that life is suffering. And the best we can do is take up the responsibility to care for others and to care for one another. And I see that with Paul and Barnabas. They cared for the brethren. They cared for the church. Paul's willing to die for it, lay down his life and risk it. And in the end, he does. He dies for the faith. He dies for proclaiming the gospel and spreading it throughout the world, fulfilling the Great Commission. And so it makes me think of what Christ has told us in Luke chapter 9, that we need to lose our lives to save it. And that being a disciple of Christ means every day waking up and taking up my cross. What does that mean? Taking up my cross, that I've lost myself, that I'm dead to what I want, but now I'm following Him. And there are things that I have to endure. How many believers quit? How many have quit? How many do you know that quit because of suffering? Trials happen upon the church and they quit. Tribulations come and they quit. And yet the Bible tells us those things are going to happen. And I hope that we take this passage for what it means right here. Why is this here in the Bible? It's to tell us this, that you're going to have to endure things to enter the kingdom of God, and don't be surprised about it. It's going to happen. Church is going to go through hard times. Your family is going to go through hard times. Those around you are going to go through difficulties. You're going to have to make hard decisions. It reminds me of Matthew 13. Jesus told us the parable of the sower, and he talks about the rocky ground, and that they didn't put the roots down, and they couldn't endure. They didn't have the faith to endure. We want to examine ourselves tonight, make sure that we're strengthened and we have the faith to endure. A great example of this and encouraging us is to think about how Christ endured suffering. Listen to this. Paul writes in Hebrews chapter 12 and verse 2. Hebrews chapter 12 and verse 2. This is what we see about Christ. For joy, Christ endured the cross. Now that's a great statement, especially if you're named Joy. But for joy, Christ endured the cross. Listen to this. Hebrews 12 and verse 2. Looking to Jesus, the founder and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross. For the joy of it. What joy is that? And so when you hear Jesus say, when you're persecuted and you go through hard times, rejoice in that and take joy in it. Well, that's a hard thing to do. Not if your mind's not set on Christ. If your mind is set on Christ and set on the hope, you can have joy in enduring hard things. And so here we are to take up our cross, and it says Jesus, for the joy that was set before him, endured the cross. And so we can do that every day. If I take up my cross and follow Christ, I can do it for joy. And then it says here, despising the shame. He didn't care about the shame of it or what other people would have thought about it. He had all that mocking. When you read the Gospels, every one of them, when Christ is on the cross, you have mockery and the spitting and these people who are slandering and speaking against Christ. And Jesus despises that shame. Doesn't matter about the shame. He takes joy in it. And then it says he is seated at the right hand of God. There's the hope of being with God at the right hand. That's why Christ endured it. He had faith. He was the example of God in the flesh, setting that example for us. He was set on the Creator. I want you to listen to this. There's other passages that teach us these things. James chapter 1, verses 2 through 4. James 1, verses 2 through 4 says this. James says, count it all joy, my brothers, when you meet trials of various kinds. There you go. We just see what we're reading about in Acts chapter 14. And he says, count it all joy, my brothers, when you meet various trials, just as Christ and, you know, counted it joy to endure the cross. He says, it says here again in James, for you know the testing of your faith produces steadfastness. There's great and good things that come from suffering. No, we don't want to go through it. Many things that we definitely don't want to suffer. But he says here, for you know that the testing of your faith produces steadfastness. It makes you continue. It gives you strength when you go through these hard times. And he says, and let steadfastness have its full effect, that you may be perfect and complete, lacking in nothing. So again, listen to what James is saying. Count it joy. You're going to go through various trials. It's going to produce steadfastness in you. It's going to make you perfect and complete. It's going to have its full effect. You're not going to lack anything. So endure. Count it joy. I want you to listen to one more passage tonight. Romans chapter 5, 3 through 5. Very much connected with James 1 here. Romans 5, verses 3 through 5. And this is what Paul says here. He says, not only that, in the context of our faith, our saving faith, not only that, but we rejoice in our sufferings. And are we going to suffer? Yes. And what if we have the right mindset? He says, we rejoice in our sufferings. We can do that. Knowing that suffering produces endurance. Well, that's similar to what we just read in James, that it produces steadfastness. It produces endurance. And endurance produces character. And character produces hope. I'm just going to stop there for a minute. You look at the events in your life that have shaped you, that have made you who you are, that's developed your character. I imagine you can point to a number of them and say, well, I suffered, went through a hard thing, and I endured it, and it made me a better person. And it formed me and made me who I am. Oh, that's definitely true for me. And he says, and that character produces hope. How so? Well, I've been encouraged. I now have a character that's focused on God. And now I'm focused on the eternal life. And I also know that even though I suffer, there's nothing that can separate me from the love of God. I have hope in every single circumstance. And then he says, and hope does not put us to shame. There's no shame in it. It goes back to Christ and the cross. There's no shame in that hope because God's love has been poured into our hearts through the Holy Spirit who's been given to us. If I'm living by hope and I'm living by the love of God, by which God's Spirit has poured into my heart, there's no shame. I'm willing to suffer, to endure, to continue on. And I know the good things that I have within it now, and I know the great promises of God that are coming in the future. I hope that as we look at this passage tonight in Acts chapter 14, we see Paul's example of being stoned and getting up, evangelizing, sharing the gospel, strengthening the churches, encouraging them, telling them you're going to have to enter the kingdom of God through many tribulations, making sure that the church was established and ready to move forward in its leadership. All those things come together. And as a congregation, as a church, we should think about that. There's nothing that should keep us from sharing the truth. What kind of faith do you have? Do you have the faith that endures suffering, that endures trials? What kind of faith do you have? Do you have the kind of faith that assumes responsibility to care for others, to serve others? I encourage you tonight, there's no greater mission, no more wonderful way to live. As we think about giving our lives to Christ and taking up the cross daily, taking up the cross means hardship and trials. And yet the reward is more than we can imagine. Tonight, if you need to obey the gospel of Christ, you can do that. You can partake of the promises of Christ by confessing your faith, repenting of your sins, and being baptized. You need prayers and encouragement, you can come forward. We want to pray with you. I encourage you to come now. Let's sing together.